morning. It's good to be back with you this morning. After being out of town last week, I appreciate Rex and Barry filling in for me. And when you come back and hear the singing, you know, we're down in our numbers this morning, but our singing still sounded really good. And when you go out of town and visit other places, you really appreciate the singing and coming back to it. I appreciate everybody singing out and worshiping God together this morning. This morning I want to talk about the subject of things that do not change. I dare say that there's not many of us that look around our society today and realize that there are things that are changing. You know, the events that have happened in the last week in Boston, you know, certainly there is violence in other parts of the world, but these things happen, and we see it and think back at times when we didn't see this type of thing happening. It wasn't but just, you know, several years ago that we went from the 20th century into the 21st century, and certainly there's a lot of things that have changed throughout the years. And I was thinking this morning of my grandparents and things that they grew up with, or things that they didn't grow up with, rather, that we take for granted today. You know, there's scientific theories that change over time. You know, science is about observation, and you know, as humans observe different things, their theories about science change. We see social customs changing, things that would have been customs a long time ago are not so customary today. We went out to eat the other night and had Brendan with us, and the waitress commented on how well-mannered he was, or how polite he was, and she was a very talkative waitress, and she was telling us about some of the kids that come in that she just wants to take them out back. And she said she couldn't do that, and so she was impressed that he was being polite, because there's so much of that she doesn't see. But there was a time that may not have been the case, that children were a little bit more well-behaved in one time than they may be today. There are so many things that change over time. Religion changes, and we certainly do see that a lot today. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse 6, we see that just from an early standpoint, as far as the age of the earth was concerned, that mankind became very wicked in a short period of time. In Genesis chapter 6, it says that the Lord was sorry that He made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. So we see that men can turn to wickedness so quickly. And of course, then God sent the flood, and Noah and his family were the only ones that were saved. In just recent times, our nation has seen drastic changes. In the news right now is things about the Boy Scouts and the acceptance of homosexuality. And it has been part of their policy for years that they did not accept homosexuality either in their leadership or in their membership of the youth, and as a result of that, there have been many companies that have donated money to the Boy Scouts in the past that no longer want to do that and don't want to give their financial support because, you know, the Boy Scouts hasn't changed with time. But now they're starting to change. They're starting to not want to change their leadership, but they're wanting to change their rules about what they'll accept within their organization. And of course, that's probably because of financial pressure, and they want to become more accepting as what they see society is doing. And one of the organizations that has supported the Boy Scouts in the past is really pushing them to change their policies is the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church is the second largest supporter of the Boy Scouts, and they are pressuring them to change their stance on homosexuality. And so we see things that in the past, even, you know, when I was growing up, you know, homosexuality was not something that was spoken about. It was something that was shameful. And it has, in a very short period of time, it has become something that has it is so accepted, and you're so pressured to accept that as being normal behavior and not as shameful. And so, you know, we look back at the past and we say the expression "the good old days," and I think every generation has done that. And they have looked back and said that those old days were the good old days. Well, you know, it makes you wonder what is our society going to do in the future? What are our children going to experience in the next generation? What will they look at as being good and being evil? Some of the changes that we see in religion, as we've already talked about, you know, denominations that once, you know, took a stand on moral principles, oftentimes do not because they have succumbed to society's standards and struggle on whether or not they're going to become like the rest of society. There are churches that wear the name of Christ that instead of focusing on what the work of the church is, they've gotten off into other things, adding human organizations to the things that they support and they defend, and add all kinds of things, you know, to the work of the church that really there's no scriptural authority for, in the name of attracting more people. And, you know, if we can entice people to come with these other things, then maybe we can get a little bit of Bible into them. Immodesty. So I think that Jason, didn't you preach on that recently? Jason taught on that. And I was listening to a lesson of my dad's this past week where he was talking about the churches not teaching on that subject. And he said that he wished that he could figure out what that fruit was that Eve ate so he could feed it to a few of the women that he sees so that they would realize that they were naked. Because, you know, there are people that are wearing things that they ought not to be, and that's something that's not taught a lot about. What I'm saying is there are things that change over time. People's attitudes toward morality, people's attitudes toward modesty and what they ought to be practicing in religion. You look at these things historically and they change, they evolve, and not usually for the better. People drift and get further and further away from the Word of God in so many areas. With that said, I want us to realize this morning that there are some things that do not change. And there are a lot of things that we can take hope and comfort in knowing that they are static and that they are immovable. In Christ, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, as was read this morning, Christ is something that does not change. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with food which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So what the Hebrew writer here is saying is that there are those who rule over you, and I think specifically it's talking about elders, the elders that rule over you who have spoken the word of God. You know, those elders may be with you. They may be ones that are gone and not here anymore. But when you look at the things that they've taught, you know, they've spoken the word of God with you. You follow their faith, and consider the outcome of their conduct. Follow those who are trying to adhere to a standard, to something that's unchangeable and unmovable. But the thing I want you to notice here is that the Hebrew writer says that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can take great comfort in that. But I do need to mention that sometimes this passage is abused by many people. And you know, faith healers and those in the charismatic movement, when they look at some of the things that Jesus did in the past or things that the apostles did in the past, you know, we see the spiritual gifts that were done, and there was a purpose for those things. Well, they look at anything that Jesus did or anything that the apostles did in the past, anything that happened in the past is for today. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, everything that happened before should still be happening today. Any spiritual gifts that happened in the past, those are for today as well. They'll say that Jesus healed in the past, therefore He continues to do the same thing today. Well, what about that? You know, that may sound really good on the surface, but the same writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12 that there were things that changed. There were things that changed. And we'll talk more about what it is about Christ that does not change in a minute. But in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12, the priesthood being changed of necessity, there was also a change of the law. And so the theme of the book of Hebrews is the superiority of Christ. And because of that, our new high priest is Jesus Christ. The priesthood that reigned in the Old Testament, that was no longer in effect. And that when the priesthood changed, there was a change in the law. And so there are things that change. Christ, He being the same yesterday, today, and forever, does not mean that everything that happened in the past, you know, stays the same in the future. There are things that Jesus did that He did one time. There were events that happened in Jesus' life that had a purpose and happened one time. He was born of a virgin in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So, you know, Jesus did that once. He didn't need to be born of a virgin more than once. He suffered death as an ordinary man. Of course, He was the Son of God, but the way He suffered death was the way that we would suffer death if we were in the same situation. And He did that according to God's plan. In Acts chapter 2, verse 32, it says, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." So He died as an ordinary man, but according to God's plan, He was raised after 3 days. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 says, "On the first day of the week, early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared." So they come to the tomb expecting what? They expect to find Jesus there. But verse 21 says, "We were hoping that it was He who is going to redeem Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened." And so they're going, they're expecting Him to be there, but it's the third day He's gone. And then there were witnesses to Him being raised. And in Acts chapter 1, there are witnesses to Him ascending into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, "When He had spoken these things, they watched. He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight." If there are those that say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, everything that He does, He continues to do, well, that's not true. He did these things once, and they served their purpose. He walked on the water. He stopped the storm. He fed the multitudes. He performed miracles. He raised the dead. Are those things still being done today? Well, Jesus is not here doing those things. They served their purpose. They served their purpose in showing who He was. And John chapter 20 tells us what that purpose was. John chapter 20 and verse 30 says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." The things that He did confirmed who He was, that He was the Son of God. And those in the New Testament that lived in the first century that had miraculous gifts, those things served a purpose as well. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it tells us that the gospel was being confirmed by these things. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "Therefore, since we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will." So the Hebrew writer tells us exactly why those things happened. That Jesus came, He spoke the words, and then the words were verified. God bore witness. How? With signs and wonders and miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so after those things were confirmed, they are confirmed. We don't need to keep confirming it.
And so those with miraculous gifts revealed and confirmed the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says that those that went out preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And so those things serve their purpose in a particular time. And so when we say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that does not mean that those things continued. They had a purpose in a particular time. And in fact, when people become confused on this point, it can be very dangerous to them. There was a man several decades ago that in an article in Searching the Scriptures, it tells about a man in Jacksonville, North Carolina, that claimed that he had the power to walk on the water. He claimed that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus walked on the water, and we ought to be able to do those things too. And so he did that, but he didn't. He tried to do it. And police officers said that Fernie Harrison told his friends in a bar on Saturday night, "The Lord told me that I could walk on the water." And the official said that he apparently tried to do that and drowned. So here's somebody that has complete misunderstanding. He was probably greatly mistaken about many things, but he was mistaken about thinking that he could do that. And certainly the voices that he was hearing was not the Lord telling him that he could walk on the water. You know, the point is unless we have a new Messiah or we have a new gospel, we have something new that needs to be confirmed, that we don't need confirming miracles anymore because those things have been confirmed. Jesus Christ has been confirmed. He was, his death, burial, and resurrection was witnessed by many. And the gospel, as it was being revealed by the Holy Spirit, it was confirmed by the signs and wonders that the apostles did. But once that was done, it's not necessary for it to continue to be confirmed. But when we talk about Christ, Christ was the same in the past as He is now and what He will be forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Scripture is something that has a finality to it. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the epistle starts this way: God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds. And so what we see here is that God in various times does things in different ways. And it says in the last days He's spoken to us by His Son. So we see that God does things in different ways in different times. And when people try to look at the Scriptures and say everything is the same forever and ever, it's not. But Jesus Christ was the Son of God yesterday, today, and forever. And that's never going to be superseded. And there's never going to be any new doctrine that hasn't been revealed to us already. And we need to understand that. And any new doctrine that denies Jesus or denies His authority is an error. Jesus said that His Word is something that would never pass away. In Matthew chapter 24, it says, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall never pass away." And Peter said the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1. Jesus says that His Word will never pass away. And that's something that we can take great comfort in and know that what we have is what God would have us to know, and that there should not be any doubt in our mind about that. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, loving one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, and fire and falls, but the word of the Lord shall remain forever. You know, there are many people today that try to belittle the word of God and tell us that it's not stable, that it continues to change. But Peter says it's not fallible. It's not changing. It has been revealed, and we need to have confidence in it. And we should be comforted in knowing that we have a Savior and a message that will not change. So Jesus does not change. He is our Savior. The Word does not change. And we need to take comfort in that. What we do see changing, though, is that the church has changed. But the church should not be changing. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 28, the Hebrew writer says, "Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." A kingdom that cannot be shaken is something that we can have a great deal of confidence in. When we look at the history of the world, we see that there are many governments that at one time were very powerful, and then they have been destroyed for one reason or another. And many times their behavior has led to their demise. And when we look at human history and see the behavior of the Roman government, for example, it really parallels a lot of things that we see in our nation today. And it makes you wonder if this nation will survive in the future if it keeps going in the direction that it's going. It may be here. I'm sure they'll probably be here for our lives, but generations from now, who knows what will happen. But you know what will happen if the Lord does not come back in the meantime, if God sees fit to let this world continue on, the one thing that will not be shaken is the kingdom of God. The United States and other nations may be shaken, or they may change and evolve and be something totally different than what they are now. But there will always be the kingdom that will not be shaken. And there will be those that will appeal to the Word of God for their authority. And if they do that, then they will be pleasing to God, and we'll be together with them for eternity. In Daniel chapter 2, in verse 44, it says, "In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom that shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever." This is the kingdom of God. Human governments will fail. Human beings may change. But God's kingdom is not destroyed. I know I've mentioned before that there have been people that have been influential in my life in a good way in times past when I needed encouragement. And some of those people are no longer faithful to the Lord. And I never would have thought that those people, if you had asked me at the time that they were being such a good encouragement to me to do what was right, I never would have thought that this person that seems to be so stable and to be such a godly influence on me that, 10, 20 years later, that they would have totally left the Lord. And it just shows you that happens, that people change and evil enters people's life and they succumb to temptation and they turn their back on God. But the thing that we see that doesn't change is there's always this righteous remnant. There's always those that are faithful to the Lord. And the Word of God does not change. Jesus doesn't change. The kingdom doesn't change. It's going to stand forever. It's those of us that are fallible that can change. And there are those that are supposedly doing the work of God that have changed. We already mentioned one denomination that's encouraging people to accept ungodliness. And certainly that's a change for the worse. It's a deterioration of what we should be following in the Scripture. But in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 10, we see that the stability of the church is something that is according to God's plan and God's wisdom. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. "To the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." The church had an eternal purpose. It's a demonstration of God's wisdom. And certainly we do not need to take it upon ourselves to think that we can change it for the better. But there are many people in the world today that think that they can change the church for the better, and that these words that were written were only written to those in a particular society, and we can't apply those things to ourselves anymore because those things are outdated and no longer politically correct. So we'll accept some things about the Bible, but we're going to do what we want to do and think that God would be pleased with us changing His will on so many different things. Well, we need to understand what the kingdom of God is and what makes the kingdom of God what it is. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, when the parable of the sower is starting out, it says the seed is the word of God. Well, what happens when you plant the seed? Well, you get the members of the kingdom. You get growth. The kingdom of God is produced by the word of God. You know, Christians are produced by us reading and understanding and being obedient to the word of God. And that's the only way that we know what it is that God would have us to do is by reading this. And how could we ever think that we have the right to go and change it at will? In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. You notice what the phrase is there, the word of the kingdom? The kingdom is something that is produced by us understanding and being obedient to the Word of God. And as long as the Word remains, then the kingdom is going to remain because there will still be those that will continue to respect it. I have hope and confidence that in the future there will always be those that will look to the Word of God as authority. It may not always be a majority. In fact, it will probably be the minority. But there will be those that will respect the Word of God, and we know that God has promised that He will preserve that Word for those that will continue to respect it. But we need to understand the kingdom that we want to be a part of is produced by the Word and our attitude toward that Word. The organization of the church is something that does not need to change. And again, many people have changed it and perverted it. In John chapter 4, verse 24, a very familiar passage, God is the Spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to do the things that God would have us to do in our worship in the right way, with the right heart. The organization of the church. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul addresses the book to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, with the elders and deacons. Are there organizations today that claim to be part of the body of Christ that don't have bishops and deacons? They've got other titles. They have other things. They have earthly organizations. They have mother churches and satellite churches. And we see that, you know, just in our own area, that these churches are all knit together in some kind of organization that you don't read about in the New Testament. The organization of the church is a pattern that we need to follow in the New Testament. But people get away from that because they think that they have a better way. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, He gave them some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God set up the work of the church in a specific way so that the church could be edified, so it would serve its purpose. You know, there are things that we may do today that are a little bit different than what they did in the first century. Such as songbook. They didn't have printing presses. They probably didn't sing in four-part harmony. They may have sang slower. They may have sang faster. They may not have partaken of the Lord's Supper in sterilized plastic cups. They may have had longer sermons. They may have had shorter sermons. When my dad was growing up, you know, in North Florida, he said that when they had meetings, they were usually 2 weeks. And those sermons in those meetings were usually 2 hours long. So maybe we ought to stop and sing Count Your Many Blessings right now. But that's something that fits within the pattern that God has given us for the work of the church. We're told to sing. We can sing in chants like people may have sang in the past. We can sing in four-part harmony. We can sing with books. We can sing without books. We can partake of the Lord's Supper in a glass cup or a plastic cup. But we're still doing what God told us to do in the work of the church. Even though, you know, some things may be a little bit different. What I'm saying here is that there have been people in different times, centuries ago, years ago, decades ago, that respect God's authority and try to do what the Scriptures teach and follow that pattern to the best of our ability. And some things change. We come together and we teach and we preach. When my father was growing up, he had a flannel board instead of PowerPoint. There was no PowerPoint then. He used a flannel board, probably a lot of you are familiar with. And after that, they got overhead projectors. And there were people that objected to that. But they thought you needed to use the chalkboard and not the overhead. And there are probably people today that don't like PowerPoint. And I don't know what it'll evolve into at some point. But and maybe everybody in the congregation will have iPads and the outline will be on their iPad instead of being up on the board. I'm not buying you an iPad, but maybe that'll happen. But what I'm saying is that there are things that we do that fall within the realm of authority and carrying out what God has told us to do. And we have authority to sing, we have authority to teach, and the things that we do that support those things are within the realm of authority. But there are things that go outside of the authority. Having car washes to raise money. Having a coffee shop in the lobby of the church building. Running a hospital. Those are all things that may be considered good works, but they're not part of the work of the church. They don't fit anywhere in what God has told us that the purpose of the church is. Again, what we're doing when we come together is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we come together to be edified, and we follow God's authority. So the church is something that is static. It should not be changing. And so if we're doing the same things, in essence, that our ancestors did, that's a good thing. Because those things that we do in worship should not be changing. They should stay the same because we respect the authority of God's will. So there are things that do not change and should not change. Another thing that does not change is man's need. What is our need? Our need is salvation from sin. That's something that has never changed. And that's the reason that we have the revelation of Scripture that tells us about Jesus Christ, that tells us about what God did for His people and how they needed this provision. That's what we've been studying in the high school class in the book of Romans, and we studied that in the adult class as well. You know, Paul spends that book, the first half of that book, telling the Jews and Gentiles that they're both in the same situation, that they don't need to feel like they have any advantage over the other group. And what's the bottom line? That they have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They're all in the same boat. They all need the same thing. And the answer is the same for every one of them. And that's Jesus Christ. God has given us this provision in Christ. And that has not changed. And the church that supports that effort should not change. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." In Jude, verse 3, it says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." And so what we see here is that the Holy Spirit has guided us into all truth. And it tells us about Jesus Christ. It tells us about our common salvation. Those things are things that are cemented. They are part of our foundation, and we can take great strength and hope and comfort in that, in knowing that we can benefit from that. Scripture has shown us that men will try to change what God has done. But every time that happens, there's always terrible consequences. And we don't need to follow in that path. When people try to change what God wants, the results are not good. Let's realize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He has given us in His Word does not change. Yes, there were things that happened at one time to confirm the Word, but what the result is the book that we have that we can turn to, and we can learn about Jesus Christ and what it is that we need to do to be children of God and be together with Christ in eternity. If we can help you in any way to do that this morning, if you haven't become a Christian, or if you've started that life and haven't been faithful to God, why don't you return to Him, or it may be everlastingly too late if we don't take advantage of the time God has given us. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.